So today is being a crypto day. I want to just kind of talk about the state of crypto right now, because we got some fun stuff going on. Maybe we might actually discuss a few different types of cryptocurrencies, but I also want to go over some crypto encryption technologies and some microprocessors that are just being tested right now that use a programming system that computers don't normally use. Normally it's used by vending machines and other things like that. So we're looking at like a pretty fun day. I mean, the backlog for today is kind of weird because we don't really need one. So let's just kind of talk about price of Bitcoin a little bit. So price of Bitcoin just a few months ago was like up in the 9,000, 10,000 range. And then after a major scam coin wallet started moving their Bitcoin, we saw a big dump. And then we were rising back up and we were getting pretty close up to there. And some old Bitcoin moved, and then some more of the scam coin wallets moved, and more dump. And so we've even seen a couple of different times where people tried to manipulate the market, it seems, where, and I say that in a very non-standard way, I don't mean what everybody else means, I mean like someone printed a bunch of Tether to send to an exchange just to specifically dump on Bitcoin. So that's what I mean, is like someone, when they made a bunch of that Tether, it increased the value of Bitcoin when they had all that Tether printed. And then when they shorted, Bitcoin with their end result trading, they actually then caused a big dump. So that's what I mean by manipulation of the market. It's probably a legal manipulation, but the amount of money that was used, I thought it was just a ginormous amount of money. And so we're heading back up to the 7,000 range now. We just like every time you get up to a range or a higher range or a higher percentage in an asset of any kind, it's going to be a fall back down, because people are going to take their profits. And especially like swing traders right now, they're trying to pull in every little percentage they can of profit, so that way they're into the month they have money or whatever, so they have money but for the next month. And that's I think that's why we've seen a lot of appreciation and value, and at these harder times to get past these really strong resistance lines, because once we hit these certain areas, there's a lot of automated trading. And anytime you have any percentage down, like 20% back up, you're going to start hitting these resistance lines. And then when you're having a problem with the asset rising over that 20% anymore, there's additional sets and bots, or different bots, or they change their bot to go, hey, look, I need to trade a little bit more to the zero line. I need to swing for a little bit less and just try to, make a little bit after the transaction fee and all the trading fee and everything. And I think 7 to 8% is a pretty good low for an average swing trader. Actually, 10% probably was pretty low. So 7 or 8% is probably really low. And when you're looking at your trades, probably a good 1.5 to 3% of your trade that you traded for, the profit that you end up with, or the value that you end up with, has to go to either a transaction or a fee for the actual trade or something like that. And then you actually have to move the money out of your wallet. And not all of the places you can like leverage trade and trade and stuff will where the 3% be enough to cover both the transaction fee and the trading fee and the transaction fee. It's just because some of them are pretty large. And so we're seeing a push to these smaller markets where like trading fee is next to nothing, super low. And so these people are, the traders are going there to be able to swing lower for higher yield. And the people building these, you got like a few people that are like a little group, and they keep building exchanges. And now all of their exchanges they are building are pretty freaking legit. They, like, even I look at them and go, damn, I can't deny that. I mean, like, they're actually building good systems, good networks. But the whole reason why they're doing it, they're building one after another, after another, after another, after another, is to put the availability option out there to drop the big conglomerate trade exchanges to their knees. And I still think it's kind of like a conglomerate because it's the same group of people building exchange after exchange, but they're not actually doing it together. So it's, you could call it an exchange war. We're having a physical exchange war, but what it's doing is, like I said, it's causing this bigger opportunity. More people out there can get good trading sites, can get good trading, you know, in a place where they can actually get legit trading done for lower fee, have lower swing if they need to, and the trust doesn't need, you should never have trust in this thing. So if, say, you're trading a large lump sum of money and you're like, well, these little platforms just don't have the money for my type of trading, then you need to divide your trade out amongst multiple platforms. And if you're doing platforms that don't have the same owner, then you're really actually diversifying your situation. Because then what if, like, say you're only on Binance and then Binance says, okay, you know what, F everybody, we're done, and they close up shop and go home because there so many people are on their butts trying to claim this, trying to claim that, and they keep buying different things, and so then monopolizing and monopoly comes out, and people will start blaming them for that. So what if they just go, you know what, we're done, stop? You could potentially lose your trades. Maybe you'll be able to get the money that you have in your account back, but any active trades will be closed right then and there. And you could be in a really bad situation with your trade, and you were just like, oh, well, I need another hour or two, and it would have been back up. And sure enough, in the future of an hour or two, it probably will. So when you're looking at those situations, if you had that same portfolio that was on Binance distributed amongst 10, then you'd only lose 1/10 of your current trade. Yeah, again, we were still going under the assumption that Binance allowed you to pull all your funds out. Your trade was closed right then and there. But not everybody is always in a positive with their trade. There's lots of people where there is a slight dip or a slight short squeeze or a slight long squeeze, and they just run the squeeze, which means they hold out till the squeeze is over. Because if you're on a short and it long squeezes and it pumps up for a short bit and then dips back down, there's a chance if you wait the squeeze, you could end up with a higher yield percentage profitable because of where you put in your point of leverage trade, where you continue to move your okay, sorry, you keep adding in or removing out or putting onto the back of your trade money, so that way you don't lose your position. You outweight the squeeze, it dips even lower, you have a higher percentage yield, you pull out of your short in more profitable time, and you end up with more in the end, and you have a higher yield. So this is like what we're actually looking at. There's a lot of people that are right now, I think they're trying to just get in as much as they can, and being safer about that is always going to help you. And if you're, like I said, in one of these positions where you're just trying to wait the squeeze and Binance shuts and you're on a negative, even if it's like 1.2 or 0.2 or 2 point negative, you're still gonna be upset about that. I mean, that's like doubling your fee for them closing you out because they were done. And that's just the reality of things. So what we're gonna be looking at now is what we're gonna talk about a few different cryptos, crypto options and things, and see how maybe you might have another way to invest, trade, or start on your own crypto journey. And then again, I also want to talk about some crypto technology and some microprocessors of a new wave of crypto technology. Yeah, so diversifying your platform, probably not a bad idea. It's really a good idea to do. I mean, anytime you are distributing anything, there is a chance it might fail, but at the same time, the chances of it all together failing is slimmer than just one piece, one portion of one thing. And that's the whole point of distributing and decentralizing, is to make, if that one thing fails, it's not destroying everything. And that's what they mean by single point of failure. So if you're looking at some coins, maybe you want to get into trading. Some coins you should be really looking at is like Bitcoin, BTC. And I never really thought that I would be saying this since about 2017, 2018, when Bitcoin Cash, their marketing, whatever, started doing this BCH is the real Bitcoin. And there was a lot of people that lost a lot of money. Nowadays, you don't see pretty much any wallets but the BCH people's wallet that says, and I say that, I mean, like, there's an actual wallet that ABC Bitcoin team came out with. That's the Bitcoin Cash wallet. So there is that. And there's also the Bitcoin.com Bitcoin Cash wallet, which is just, they call it just the Bitcoin wallet. And so, as you can hear, like, that's one of the companies that I guess was screwing people. It's ran by the ABC Bitcoin team and mostly Roger Ver, the guy that kept saying over and over and over and kept telling people, well, Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin and it's not BTC. It really isn't. So, but yeah, Bitcoin Cash, if you're doing riskless trading, which means that you're getting your trading funds absolutely for free, like a faucet or it was given to you, then BCH might be an okay thing to do. You might have some BCH from faucets and games and stuff and might be like, well, you know, since I got it for free and I just got it for fun, maybe trading it some will be okay. And yeah, it is. So there we go. I do not recommend BSV just because of my personal point on it. So it's a biased point of view. So you might want to do your own research. I always recommend you do your own research. But anyways, another thing you need to know about Bitcoin is that there's like 200 different types of Bitcoin, and there's like tons of forks of Bitcoins: Bitcoin Private, Bitcoin Diamond, Bitcoin this, Bitcoin that. And so BTC is the first Bitcoin or the main chain, and then BCH was the first like major fork of Bitcoin where it wasn't like it was and wasn't directly competing with it. Okay, so it forked the chain, not the code base. A lot of them just forked the code base, or they forked the chain at like the Genesis block. Those are like Bitcoin Private, Bitcoin Diamond, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin this, Bitcoin that. They're completely different. So BCH was the first major fork. That's a major, that's about it. Okay, so if you're not trading Bitcoin, what else are you going to be trading? What else are you going to be looking at? Litecoin. Litecoin is like one of the first altcoins, and it really is a really great currency to trade on, to use for buying goods and stuff, because the transaction set up on it is a little different than other places. Like, it's got like set transaction fees and things like that. And I mean, the transaction fees are dynamic a little bit, but I'm saying like they have a little bit better transaction fee standing, so it's cheaper, basically, is what I'm saying, to move your Litecoin around. And if you're buying goods every day or something like that, you know, the value, the amount of money it costs to transfer your funds is going to be a huge deal. I remember in the mid to late 90s where we were able to like have an easier form and way to transfer money from like my bank to your bank, be it besides it just being a wire transfer. The transaction fee was kind of what kept people from doing things like that and kept companies from doing stuff like that. And then when the banking systems were forced to, for these alternative transfer methods, to put down like zero transfer fee or only on entry transfer fee, we started seeing way more companies and apps and things come out to do specifically that, send money from one bank to another. And a lot of these are actually made by the banks, and they're looking at this as a secondary venture point for capital. And I mean, that's business. And so if you're trading, you got to look at that too. What's my other opportunities for capital? Okay, that's what we're doing. So Litecoin is definitely one of them. Dogecoin. If you would have asked me this last year, like the same time frame as right now, last year, I would have been like, no, don't even bother trading Dogecoin. There's not enough liquidity. But someone actually proved me wrong, and I don't have a problem being proved wrong. What I'm saying is, someone had posted this thing like, if you'd want this many Dogecoin or this many Bitcoin, which one would you take? And you know, one of my points in the argument, because I said Bitcoin, was, well, I said a bunch of things, but one of them was, liquidity. How much money every day can I pull out of that asset? Rather, it's being pulled out at a bit with Bitcoin, or being pulled out with fiat, or being pulled out with more Dogecoin. How much is there? Because I mean, like, if I come out there with an altcoin, I want to end up with Dogecoin. What if I have more altcoins than Dogecoin availability on an exchange? Well, if you were listening earlier, you will now distribute that exchanging. And that was actually one of the things they mentioned. They mentioned that there were like three or four different major Dogecoin exchanges that per day, about a, well, if you wanted $1 million out of Dogecoin, the out of you don't take $1 million divided by 30, that much per day. And it was like a hefty amount. I'm like, whoo. I want to say it was like $125,000, but I mean, I could be wrong. Every day out of Dogecoin, it was just like, okay, liquidity is there. So Dogecoin's not a half bad asset to trade on. And trading does cause some issues, especially when you get an asset into bot trading. And I believe Dogecoin is in bot trading, but it's actually been really significantly good for Dogecoin, because it just seems like more people buy Dogecoin than sell it. No joke. I honestly think people are buying Dogecoin, finding another way to trade it, or get something else for like a good or something, or they're doing P2P transfers, and they're ending up with something else, either a product or a service, or a different asset like Bitcoin. And I think that's really positive, really positive. Anytime we have a stock or anything like that that has that type of a situation, we always say that's a very positive thing, and that's those stocks normally grow, not super rapid, but they almost always grow, and that's what's important. So we're gonna keep going now. Other coins that, because those are our main type of chain coins, both Litecoin and Dogecoin are technical code forks of Bitcoin, and there are other coins out there that, technical forks of Bitcoin that we can talk about. But I think let's move on to privacy coins. So right now, what's hot in privacy coins are whichever is the easiest to mine. Of course, Monero does not fit that bill, but I guarantee you, Monero is being mined and being traded, and people love the heck out of it. It's a real big community-backed coin. It's got tons of liquidity. And for the way the system's set up, it's pretty dang private. It's not perfect. I mean, I've even done videos in the past. Like in 2017, I did a video about how exchanges, if you use Monero with exchanges, you actually destroy the privacy of Monero. And that is true. If you receive or send Monero to or from an exchange, or to and from anyone who has used an exchange, then yeah. Yeah, there's a problem. And when I say use an exchange, I mean with the wallet, same wallet you're about to either send, they're about to send from, or you're about to send to. You don't, when people have, when they do exchanges, they just need to keep exchange money to exchanges. And if you have to take your exchange funds and pull it out as fiat to send to a different place just to purposely buy fiat, I mean, not buy fiat, but buy, Bitcoin, or the currency you want, the crypto you want, and then use that as a sending platform always, but never ever receive from a wallet from people that is used in exchanges, or with exchanges, or pay exchange payouts of any kind, because that just gives you away. It actually ruins privacy. But another coin would be like Ravencoin. I think it's still pretty dang hot right now. Turtlecoin is getting hotter and hotter because the team has really been working hard on the Turtlecoin network, everything that goes with it, different opportunities to get it, and things like that. And it's still like I mine it on my phone and stuff. It's really easy to mine. It's actually pretty dang good. And so what we're looking at there is when you're looking at privacy coins, that whatever is being mined actively, like you, that's the one to trade, because that's the one they're about to trade. And when these privacy miners trade an asset, it's actually a dump. Let's put it to you simply, it's a dump. There are a lot of people that are able to mine enough Monero to actually, or I don't just mean Monero, but not mine enough privacy coins like Monero and Ravencoin. Then they are able to actually sustain on it. They're actually using it as a currency. They're buying like gift cards and using the gift cards with it. They're buying Bitcoin with it. They're paying their bills with it. They're doing different things with it through different services like MCO.com and CryptoCards.com. Because that's what we're actually more needing to move to, is we're actually using these cryptos instead of just trading them. But still, what's hot is hot. And with privacy coins, it's always what's being mined the most, or what's actively in the watch list for mining, because once those miners start dumping those coins, they have a hard time recovering. Which is why so many people love Monero, because it doesn't have a hard time recovering. And so we're going to keep going. Some other coins to look at are going to be ERC-20s, ERC-721s, NFTs. These ERC tokens on top of Ethereum are really a hot ticket for trading. I do know a few people that still trade Ethereum. I do not directly recommend trading Ethereum directly. You're actually better off trading one of the cryptos on top of the platform and looking at Ethereum as a secondary viewpoint in your ERC-20, ERC-721 trades, because the value of that Ethereum is going to depict what you would get back from your ERC. Because a lot of times you don't trade an ERC-20 for an ERC-20. You normally trade an ERC-20 for Ethereum, or 721 for Ethereum. It's people who don't have Ethereum trying to get Ethereum, and so trading those tokens, and a lot of times there's lots of ways to get them really easy, really cheaply, like just taking $5 in Ethereum and going to like app.rarible.com and building NFTs at somewhere between less than a penny to 19 cents an NFT to build these NFTs to sell. I mean, and then you can sell some of these if you have, depending on your NFT, you could sell them for anywhere from 34% above what it took you to make it to even like $5, $6, $10. I've seen NFTs go for as much as a few $1,000. I think the highest price one I saw was 17,000, and it sold $17,000 in Ethereum, and it sold. So there is, like, if you can get these NFTs and these ERC-20s, you can get your reputation up for being a trustable source. And what that means is that you have a reputation with whatever platform you're using. Sorry, I can't say that word. And so your rep is really, really good. You got good rapport. People, you actually do what you say you're doing. You're not screwing people and stuff. And so that causes your rep to go up, and that ultimately will help you to trade, make it easier for you to get rid of stuff, make it easier for you to sell. Another what's hot is Tron tokens. So not actually Tron. Right now, what's hot about Tron is everyone's staking it to get voting power, and everyone's staking it to receive airdrops of other coins like BNB, Wink, these little other Tron 20s. And I think that's its own, that is, I've done a video podcast over its own, like its own little form of trading, and it really is the thing right now. So Tron 20 tokens are what's hot in trading, and I have to say they've been what's hot in trading for like 2 years, I think, because I think they've pretty much been what's hot in trading since they came out. Tron 20 tokens, same thing with the Ethereum 20. As soon as Ethereum tokens started coming out, tokens on top of the Ethereum network, that wasn't Ethereum, they became what's hot in trading. And that's one of the key features in looking for good trade tokens and coins, is you want to see a currency that's either built on top of another currency that has a strong value point, which means it's not losing value every day, it's not constantly being dumped, but it has this fight between resistance and support, so it's constantly going up, down, up, down, up, down, but within a reasonable range. And I will admit, Ethereum has some unbelievably low points, and it does have a down slope low, like it's basically been down sloping for a long time, but it keeps its range relatively the same. And so the going from your NFT being worth $5 today and it being worth 5 cents tomorrow is lessened and lessened. And if you can't sell the NFT in like 190 days, you have a chance of that $5 NFT being worth $4.50. And I say that it's just like rough averages and just kind of not actual math, just giving you a point of view of what I mean by that. And this section's a little long and I apologize, but I'm just going to keep going. So, Komodo tokens, any token made with Komodo or the Komodo chain or with the Komodo service, those ones are like what's hot. And it's not the fact that they're on top of Komodo. I mean, I think Komodo actually diversifies how they secure their chain and or the chains that they work with and stuff. And it's the fact that the Komodo team, they built a system that's actually really, really, really good. And so when people build and they fork it, or they have the Komodo team build them, basically a copy of theirs, but with whatever customizations they wanted, those tokens do unbelievably well. And I think something's a little special about the Komodo team. They've been around for a long time now, and even Komodo has been around for a long time, the actual coin. And I think that there it's a good trading. If you're not trading it, you should be staking it, because there are like Atomic Wallet and stuff that will allow you to stake Komodo. And I recommend, if you can stake a altcoin, then do so. But swing trade your return of that stake, or if you get return in the exact same coin, because there are some places where you can like stake coin A and receive coin A, but most places you'll stake coin A and receive coin B. So if you can get coin A back from a coin A stake, then sure enough, restake a large percentage of that before you start swing trading it. And just because assets that have higher staking, or any proof of stake asset that has a higher amount of staking than trading, seems to do better in price. So you have a chance of actually just gaining wealth off of proof of stake coins if you can get enough stake in that coin and get enough percentage of stake in that coin. So what I mean by percentage of stake is not your portfolio percentage, but actually the percentage of stakers, the none of that currency being staked. The higher your percentage is in that pool, the better chances you are of gaining wealth from that currency. And of course, also the size of the pool has a huge difference. Because if the size of the pool is like $10 and you got $8 in there, you're not still not making much money. But if you have the size of the pool that's 4 or 5 million US dollars worth in that crypto, and you have 15%, you're gonna be making something. And the higher that percents get, the better you're gonna be doing. And so once you get into staking, you do have stake trading. Like I said earlier, there's places you can stake Tron, get Tron 20s. There are places where you can stake Ethereum 20s and get Ethereum or other Ethereum 20s. And stake trading is its own thing, and getting into it is probably less risky than a lot of other places. Because the problem is with proof of stake coins is you either have to be given the coin or you have to buy the coin. There's no mining of that coin. And I think that's why proof of mining and proof of stake, they do proof of mining and proof of work and proof of stake. So they have mining and staking on the same of the same coin. Those currencies, they do really well, or they seem to have been. Because a lot of them are kind of new, but just within the past, little bit that they've been around, they seem to be doing pretty good. So that's the next currency set to look at. If you're looking at cryptos and you're not, heard all the other ones, or you're in the other ones, well, go for split proof coins. Coins that have either integrated split proof or delegated split proof or direct split proof. And what that means is, okay, the first one was basically where you have proof of work and proof of stake, but proof of stake isn't is used for like a form of mining, Which a lot of proof of stake coins, that's how it kind of works. It's basically replacing mining, but mining is also happening. So there are being minted new minted coins, and there are old minted coins being proof, staked for new minted coins. So you have this double mint thing, and they do seem pretty well. Then the next one is delegated, where you have mining. That's being done, but it's only actually being done by proof of stake and the company. So they like the mining is being done to produce new coins through the proof of stake. And so delegated proof of split isn't the worst. I mean, it's sometimes better than delegated proof of stake. So it's its own thing. And then the last one I said was just your basic direct. You have your miners securing the chain, and you have your stakers trying to assist in the scaling of the chain. That's direct split. And so you know the differences. And so each one of those types of coin, every coin that's involved in one of those three types of split proofs, has their own benefits and downfalls. And I think probably the best is direct proof, or I'm sorry, direct split, where one is being used to secure and the other one is being used to scale, because that really seems to make sense. Okay, so a lot of people don't realize that there's more than one kind of Nary subsequence. And what that means is you have binary, your computers work off binary. But there's also other ones. There's one, like the one I actually deal with all the time is trinary. And trinary is a three set instead of a two set. Binary is two set. There's a zero, there's a one. Trinity, I'm saying the name wrong, is 0 1 2. Instead of just being 0 1, it's 0 1 2. And so it's got three major ways to look at everything. So the base value of Trinity is three, the base value of binary is two. And the first three letters in Trinity and the first two letters in binary explains that. Bi, two, tri, three. And what we just recently had was a microprocessor that actually runs Trinity. It's a Trinity microprocessor. And people like me that actually does Trinity encryptions and Trinity code and does things with Trinity, it's really great to hear that we might actually have computers soon that's able to handle the stuff that we actually do. Because I've been working on binary entanglement. It's basically like a faux quantum, and I always call it binary, but it runs off of a Trinity thought point, and actually in the code is more Trinity than binary. But I have to take my first set of how it works, and I have to adjust it to fit binary. And it just sounds really great that, maybe in the next 5 years I might actually be able to put binary entanglement directly on Trinity, and we can actually have a true non-quantum fake quantum entanglement form. And that would just be another way to really combat quantum mechanics and quantum computers, because quantum computers are just unbelievable guessers, and they can do a pretty good job at sustaining information for a long period of time across its network. And when I say network, I actually mean network of the quantum bits. The span tray of their bits is how it keeps in memory. And so we always need a way to combat it, because any encryption we come up with, well, one of those machines could potentially decrypt it faster than any binary machine. Now, putting this higher form of basic encryption that's non-quantum, I call it faux quantum. So any form of faux quantum we have on binary is going to be a huge. It's going to like basically double our benefit, our abilities to block quantum. And putting it on a tri will actually triple our abilities to block quantum, because our computers will be running about a third faster, well, not really a third, less than a third faster compared to binary if the system is set up correctly and stuff. And I say that because you got to have the boards and everything. So we just have right now a microprocessor, so we could run all the encryptions through these microprocessors and then run back into the binary and still have the advantage of the trinary backing, but still running through a traditional system. And because this is pretty dang new in of a microprocessor, it's just a matter of time before it becomes a real use case. So when you have the systems that we have nowadays, I mean, the cryptocurrency that's running is running off of binary. Just imagine the possibilities when we have the same cryptocurrency running on Tyranny. I mean, there's just higher end possibility of what can be done. Like, there's a chance you could be having your one device be the miner and the node that's proof of stake. So, you run these chances, and I know that sounds outreach, but there's already computers that can kind of do that. So, just imagine being able to do like proof of stake Tyranny encryptions while you're doing, binary mining. It'd be pretty nice. But just like that, today's outro was sponsored by freecrypto.cc, and literally it's Google hosted crypto hub, been around since 2017. And just go freecrypto.cc, hit up the faucets, hit up the pay-to-do, hit up all the options you have there, learn a little bit more about Bitcoin, and go ahead and get started.